I start with the Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Tet, Amud Bet. The Gemara today is a pretty short Gemara, but each piece is very nuanced, so we're going to take our time to go through it and explain all the nuances of the Gemara. There are a number of machlokot between Rashi and Tosafot, so we'll try to make everything clear and put the pieces together. So the Mishnah begins, Ashochet, L'shem Harim, L'shem Givaot, L'shem Yamim, L'shem Naharot, L'shem Midbarot. Someone does a Shechita for the mountains, for the heights, for the seas, for the rivers, for the deserts, shchita to psula. His shchita is problematic. That's what we're going to focus on today, that piece of the Mishnah. The second piece of the Mishnah will be on the daf on Shabbat, which is shnayim ochazim b'sakin v'shochatin. If you have two people jointly performing shchita, echad l'shem, echad mikol elu, one of those participants in the shchita does it l'shem, one of the items mentioned in the ratio of the Mishnah, v'chad l'shem davar kasher, and the other one does it for a proper shchita, shchitato psula. The mixing in of the improper machshava by the other party makes it problematic. And as Rashi points out here, what does it mean, l'shem davar kasher? It means shchita stam. You don't have to have anything in mind when you're doing shchita l'chulin, you just have to do a shchita tzimanim. You don't have to have anything else in mind. So shchita kasher or shchitato kasher is when you just don't have ulterior motives in your shchita. Now, dealing with the first part of the Mishnah, the Gemara says that the Mishnah says psula in zivchei meitim lo. Problem that's presented with our Mishnah is you have someone here is doing shchita l'shem avodah zarah, and that is called takrovet avodah zarah. Takrovet avodah zarah, we know, is like zivchei meitim. And if it's like zivchei meitim, we have a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira and the Chachamim as to what its status is. Their machlokas relates to whether it has tumah ke tumat amet. But everybody agrees that there's an iser hana associated with takrovet avodat kochavim. So our Gemara wants to know, if you're doing shchita l'shem avodah zarah, why am I ending up with a psula? Psula means that it's a nevela. Nevela means you can get hana from it, you can't eat it, and it has tumat nevela. But it doesn't have the status of zivchei meitim, of being absolutely asur behana'ah. What happened to that? Viriminhi. And we have the Tosefta that tells us explicitly, Ashochet l'shum harim, l'shum givaot, l'shum neharot, l'shum midbarot, l'shum chama ulevana, l'shum kochavim umazalot. Someone does a shchita for the mountains, the heights, the rivers, or the yamim probably should be in there also, the oceans, the rivers, the deserts, the sun, the moon, the stars, the constellations, l'shum Michael sar hagadol, to the great malach, Michael, l'shum shulshul katan, or even to the smallest worm or snail, hari elu zivchei meitim. And the Tosefta is explicit that here you do shchita l'shem avodah zarah, you create zivchei meitim, it's asur ba'ana. So why is our Mishnah saying that it only ends up being psula, it becomes a nevela? And here we have a Tosefta which seems to accord what we know until now, that tells us that it's zivchei meitim and that it's asur ba'ana. Before we speak about the answer, we have to just divide up the three components when it comes to avodah zarah. When it comes to avodah zarah, there is the oveid, one who is performing the avodah zarah. There is the ne'evad, that which is being worshipped. And then there is the vehicle, which is the takrovet avodah kachavim, the vehicle that's being used to worship the avodah zarah. And the dinim of each one of them may be independent or different. For instance, if one bows down to a mountain, we have a principle from the Pasuk in Dvarim, which says that Elohehem ala harim ve'en harim Elohehem, that their gods on the mountains are problematic, but the mountains themselves don't become gods. Someone who bows down to a mountain or worships a mountain as a avodah zarah, that person would be chayav mitah, have mitat saif, as if they worship the avodah zarah, but the mountain would not be asur. So you can see that there'll be differences between the components here. So we have those three components. So now let's look at the answer. So Amar Abaye Lokasha, that's not a problem. Hada Amar Lahar, Hada Amar Legada Dahar. Distinction here is whether he said he was worshipping the mountain or he's worshipping the Gada Dahar. Gada Dahar is the Malach or the Sar of the Har. The word Gada we see in other places. Most frequently it comes up with the issue of Kofin at the Mitah, that when it comes to Avelut, one has to tip over the beds. And over there, they talk about a dargash. And the Gemara Moed Katan asks, what's a dargash? The Gemara says that it's a arso de gado. It's the bed of gado. It's a bed of the shade or the malach or the sar gado who comes to visit the house. They used to lay out a bed that nobody slept on for that gado. So the difference here is whether we are talking about the mountain themselves or the gado dahar. Dekanami, we can infer that from the Tosefta Diktani, Dumya de Michael sar hagado, that the Breita, the Tosefta that we brought down, compares the bowing of the Harim list that it brings there, brings Michael Sar HaGadol. So that means that the reference in the other parts of the Mishnah to Harim, Gevaot, or all the Sarim of the Harim, Sarim of the Gevaot, not the Harim themselves or the Gevaot, as opposed to our Mishnah, which is talking about the Harim and the Gevaot. Now, the problem here is that, for instance, if one bows down to the mountain, as we said before, the person who bows down to the mountain is Chayav Mitah, because he worshipped Avodah Zarah, the mountain remains Mutar. If a person bows down the Gadol, Malach, of the mountain, again, the person is Chayav Mitah for worshipping Avodah Zarah, the Sar, or the Malach, they can't do anything about that. That's a Baal Chai does not become a Neva, does not become a Sur, just because you decided to worship it. In all these cases, the Nevad is Mutar, and the Oved is Chayav. The question is here, why is there a distinction in the Takrovet Avodat Kochavim? If you're Chayav for worshipping Avodah Zarah when you bow down to the mountain, how come when you are Makriv a Korban to the mountain, is that not called Zivchei Meitim? Why is that called Takrovet Avodat Kochavim? You're Chayav for Avodah Zarah, yet it's not called Takrovet Avodat Kochavim. On the other hand, when you worship Avodah Zarah through the Sar of the Har, all of a sudden, not only are you Chayav Mitah for the Avodat Kochavim, but you're also created a Takrovet Avodat Kochavim. You create something that's a Sur Bahana'ah. Why is this distinction exist? So that is a machloka between Rashi and Tosafot, exactly why it exists, and it's somewhat of a problem here. Why should you have such a distinction? Why should you have the difference between these two types of worship? Tosafot claims that the difference here is generated by the fact that one is Mechubar and one is Talush. And that's the key difference over here. The difference is here is whether something's attached or not attached. And that's the difference between Harim and Gadadahar. And he continues, he says that that whole Tosefta, the Tosefta, when we say it's the Sar of the Har, it means of all the items there. It's the Sar of the Yam, the Sar of the Nahar, it's the Sar of the Chama, it's the Sar of the Vanna, it's the Sar of the Kochavim. Because Tosafot says the Kochavim are also Mechubarim. As is based on what Chazal believed, that the Kochavim were actually affixed in the Rakia, and the Rakia moved around, and that's why the constellations move. So everything is Mechubar here. So if you worship them directly, then you do not have Takrovet Avod Kochavim. If you worship the Sar of each of these, that's a Talush, and therefore you will qualify, or it will become Takrovet Avod Kochavim. Why? It's because of the same Pasuk. The Pasuk that says, Abed Ta'abdun, Pasuk that we quoted from Dvarim before, which says that you must wipe out all Elohim al Heharim, Chalarim, that you have to wipe out all their gods that are on the mountains. From where there we learned that the Avodah Zarah on the mountains is problematic, but the mountains themselves are not problematic. In addition to that, there's a limud in the Gemara that the Takrovet, the Kelim, that are associated with the worship, are learned from Abed Ta'abdun also. The fact that you have to wipe out and destroy the Takrovet Avodat Zarah comes from that pasuk of Beit Tabdun. And therefore we're going to apply the same distinction of Elohim Alaharim Veloharim Elohim. So according to Tosafot, the same distinction between why something is a Nevad is considered Asur will also determine when the Takrovet is Asura. So therefore, if you end up with a Nevad that is not Asur, then you have a situation where the Takrovet is also not a Nesar. If it's Mechubar, and you don't have the need to destroy because it's Mechubar, as long as it's Mechubar, it's subject to this rule that the Takrovet will not be Asur Bahana'ah. The one who worships it will be Chayav Mitah, and the Har will not have to be destroyed. So that's the way Tosafot learns, and that's the distinction between the Tosefta and our Mishnah. The Tosefta is talking about cases where you're worshipping things that are Talush, this Sarim, and since you're worshipping the things that are Talush, you're Chayav Mitah, and the Takrovet is Asura, because it's Talush. And the Tsar, obviously, is not going to be Asur, because it's not his fault that you're worshipping him. Whereas in the Mishnah, we're talking about all things that are Mechubar. We're talking about the Har, the Yam, the Nahar, themselves, which are Mechubar. So you're Chayav Mitah for worshipping the Avodah Zarah, but the Harim, the Yamim, all those things are not Asurim. Vigam, the Takrovet, is not Asur Ba'ana. That's the way Tosafot explains the difference over here. Rashi, on the other hand, Rashi comes up with a different distinction over here, and that's if you look at Dumya de Michael. In Dumya de Michael, Rashi writes, "Delo mechubar hu." Michael is not mechubar. Ubalei chayim, afagav delo mitzarei. Im balei chayim, live objects. That means animals, human beings. Afagav delo mitzarei mishum avdat kochavim. Even though they don't become asur, if you worship a person, that person is not all of a sudden asur. If you worship an animal, that animal does not become asur. It's mutar lehejotot. It's only problematic for the mizbeach from a specific miut. But otherwise, all these items remain mutarim. They are not problematic when you worship a baal chai. Where do we know this? Kedekai melam b'tmura mid asarachman a nevad gvoa mechval lehejot shari. Miu. Elahut mikru. Nevertheless, they're still called gas, kidichtiv. And he brings a proof to this, because it says, hey, nizbach etuvat mitzrayim leinehem. That's in Va'era. Uchtiv also, ve'ita tashemesh v'tereach v'kochabim v'chol tzva ha'shamayim. So the Torah, in a specific cases, tells us that even though the item itself does not become asura, nevertheless, it has a status of avodah zarah, and therefore all takrovit to those items will become asurim. So Rashi's distinction, this is an important distinction because it'll make a difference in the way you read the Tosefta now. According to Rashi, the Mechubar, when you're talking about the Harim and the Gvaot and all these things, he learns like Tosvot. That's right. If it's Mechubar the Karka, number one, it doesn't become Asura. And number two is, there is no reason to believe that the Takrovit will become Asura. If it's not Asur, you can't create Takrovit Avodah Zarah. So then Rashi has a problem. Now what are you going to do with the Tosefta? The Tosefta is full of items that don't become Asurim. You have the Michael. You have the Sarim. Even the Sarim, okay, but they don't become Asurim. And according to Rashi, that's the determination of whether you get Takrovit. So why should it be Asur over here? Rashi says that the Torah tells you certain instances, even though they themselves don't become Asurim, nevertheless, they're classified as Elahut. They're classified as gods. And everything you worship them with will be Takrovit Avodat Kochavim. And what are those? That's where the Torah specifically says, by animals, like in Mitzrayim, by the constellations, the stars, the sun, the moon. All those items are explicitly mentioned in the Torah as being problematic to worship them, that people worship them. And therefore, they're classified as Avodah Zarah. The nafkamina between Rashi and Tosafot will be the end of the Tosefta. The items of the Tosefta of the Hamad, Levana, and Kochavim, Tosafot says that they are all still talking about Sarim. It's not talking about the stars and the moon and the sun. It's talking about the Sarim of those items, because those are Mechubar. But according to Rashi, since the Torah specifies in those cases that those are gods, then their Takrovit is problematic, even though they themselves cannot become Asurim. And so according to Rashi, when it says, Kochavim, Mazalot, and Chama, and Levana, means literally them. You don't have the Sar. The Sar is only by the Yam, and by the Midbarot, and the Gvot, and the Harim, where the Torah doesn't specify those items as becoming Avodah Zarah. The difference here, Rashi and Tosafot explaining the distinction between the Mishnah and the Tosefta, and explain to us why, when you have instances where nothing becomes a surah, why is it that it becomes Takrovit Avodah Kochavim? Tosu's distinction is between Mechubar and Talush. Rashi's distinction is whether it's mentioned in the Torah or not mentioned in the Torah. The Torah mentions it as a god, then it can make Takrovit Avodah Kochavim. It's not mentioned in the Torah, it can't make Takrovit Avodah Kochavim. Right. Which is also pointing out that the Psula and the Mishnah is coming from the Rashi saying that, okay, it's not Avodah Zarah, so then why is it Asura? Rashi says, it's Mil Psulam Lechol Mishum the Dami Yelushchita at Avodah Kochavim Michlef Abba. Since it's similar to Zivchei Meitim, we remain Asura. I think you could argue that it's not even Shchita. It loses its status of Shchita because Shchita Stam is fine. Shchita L'Shem Chulin is fine, but if you have Shchita L'Shem, the wrong thing, then it changes. What your action you're doing is not Shchita. If it's not Shchita, then, and we'll see that later in today's daf, then it's not called shchita, then you don't have a kosher animal. So it's psula because it's a nevela. Just like if an ovi kochavim does the shchita, it'll be nevela. So to here, we have a mumar, the avodah zarah, that's doing the shchita, and he had in mind specifically for the avodah zarah, maybe that should make it a problematic shchita. Rashi says no, that it's a problematic zera. Now we have a statement of Rav Huna. Rav Huna's statement is going to run us through the rest of the Gemara here, and that is, Amar Rav Huna, Haita behemat chaveiro revutza lifnei avodat kochavim. Person's behemat chaviro, so now we're going to break down each piece of this statement. Behemat chaviro means it's not his. If it's not his, then he can't be oseret. I mean, if you bow down to something that's not yours, you can't make it a sur. It's not yours, you don't own it. You can't make it a surah. So that's one. Rivutza, it's crouching down. Rashi says the reason that it says it's crouching down here is because then you don't have to lift it up. If you had to lift it up over here to make it to avodah zarah, you would have a kinyan through agba, and the kinyan agba would make it yours, and then you could make it a sur. So the reason that Rav Huna says it's revutza is that you don't have to come into physical contact with it and lift it up. Tosafot rejects that and says, what are you talking about? For it to be a kinyan, you need yeush balim as well. Who says you have yeush balim here? So the hagba is not the issue, so why is it revutza? Tosafot gives two answers as to why it's revutza. Elanira the naka revutza the rebuta comes to teach you a chiddush. Afgav delo here bitza, that even though he himself did not cause it to crouch down, velo maase masagot go kokach hasra, that despite the fact that he didn't cause it to crouch down and it was already sitting there, it's still considered problematic. We're going to see in a second. That's one possibility that Tosfot gives. And the other possibility is that the context in which it's done, he never says anything. And this creates the context where we know for sure he's worshipping the animal. The fact that the animal is revutza shows us that he must be worshipping it. Now, lifnei avodat kochavim. It's in front of a avodah zarah. So what does it mean it's in front of an avodah zarah? Tosfot gives two reasons why it says lifnei avodat kochavim. Either lav davka, doesn't really matter. It's just orcha de milka nakat. That's where you usually find this situation. But if he did it anywhere else, it would have the same outcome. The other possibility, Tosafot says, is that the person here is not saying anything. The context, the circumstantial evidence, is that he's bowing down to the animal and he's worshiping Avodah Zarah. It's found lifnei avodat kochavim. It's revutza, it's crouched down, and this person's bowing. So if I take that all together, it looks like he's worshiping Avodah Zarah. So that's the context in which it's found makes it this way. If you just bow down to it, the animal would remain mutar, you'd be chayav mita, but the animal would be mutar. Kevan, but on the other hand, sheshachat ba siman echad asura. If you shecht one siman in this animal, then you make it asura. Now siman echad is lav davka. If you do any maisa in the animal, that overcomes the problem that it's not your animal. You can make it a surah, even though it's not your animal, because you took action over here. And Savar Law, this Rav Huna is relying on what Ula taught us. That even though a person bows down to his friend's behemah, does not make it a surah. Asaba Maseh, on the other hand, if he does an action on it, asra. And what Rav Huna comes to teach us is, what's the action that you need? He says, any, the smallest action is sufficient. That's what Tosfot said before about the Revutza. Since the animal was already crouched down, you had to do very little now to make it into Avodah Zarah, and that's still classified as Avodah Zarah according to Rav Huna. So now we have a question on Rav Huna's position. Etevei Rav Nachman the Rav Huna. Nachman says, I have a problem because we have a braita from the Gemara in Pesachim, which says, Ashuchet chatat bishabbat b'chutz. Someone takes a chatat, does the shechita on Shabbat, b'chutz, outside of the Mikdash, le'avodat kochavim, for Avodah Zarah, chayav shalosh chataot. If he did it b'shogeg, he's chayav three chataot. Every one of these is a chiyuv karet. The violation of Shabbat is a chiyuv karet, Avodah Zarah is a chiyuv karet, and shechut echutz is a chiyuv karet. Therefore, if he does it b'shogeg, he's chayav shalosh chataot. Three chataot in this case. Tosfot points out that they're not coming here to enumerate how many chataot, because you could have done on Yom Kippur and you get another chatat. That's not what the Gemara is after here. The Gemara is after here of the chiddush in each one of them. What's the chiddush in each one of them? By Shabbat. Why are you chayav in Shabbat? Generally on Shabbat, makalkel is patur. Over here you're makalkel. You're doing shchut echut and avodah zarah. Those are both kilkulim. So why is it helping over here? So the answer is, because when you do this shchita on Shabbat, and even though it's avodah zarah and all the other things, you're taking the Isser of Avraham Min Achai away from it. For a Ben Noach, you remove the Isser of Avraham Min Achai. That is a tikkun. And therefore, you're chayav on Shabbat. The other chidushim, which we're going to see in a second, that it's classified as shchut echutz and avodah zarah, that's the next set of chidushim, and that's what the Gemara is asking about now. V'yamart, if you want to say like Rav Huna, kevin sheshachat ba siman echad, as soon as you do the smallest action on the animal, asura, then it becomes a surah, then the avodah zarah is done. So he takes this animal, his chatat outside, a little nick in it, he starts cutting it, it's a surah, it's a avodah zarah already. And then the animal's a surah. Shchut echutz, lo lechayev. Why are you going to be chayav on shchut echutz? Shchut echutz, you have to actually do something that is an action that you could have done bifnim. And we said the minimum action that you have to do bifnim is a shchita of a siman echad. You have to do at least one siman. And that means a complete siman. We said before, Rav Huna, when he said siman, was lav davka, and we'll see that in the Gemara again in a second. But that's lav davka. Any action, any little maisa is enough. And over here for shchut echutz, lo lechayev mechatech ba'afarhu. Once the animal is avodah zarah, it becomes asurba, and now it becomes zivchei meitim. It's like he's cutting in the middle of the ground. He's doing nothing anymore. So why should you be chayav over there for shchut echutz? Right. That's usually like where you have these cases of shogeg, where it seems obvious that he should have known. The Gemara says, bomer muter. Samara papa. Hacha b'chatata of askinan. We must be talking about a chatata of over here. The kulei b'hadei hadodi ka'ati. Everything happens simultaneously. Because by a chatata of, one is the minimum amount you need to have the animal, number one, die. Number two, be kosher bifnim. And number three, to become avodah zarah. That all of those are, we're talking about chatat ha'of. Chatat ha'of is that one item and everything happens simultaneously. So now I cut one siman. I have done the avodah zarah. That same moment, I've also done shchut echutz. On top of that, I've violated Shabbat because now I've been metaking the animal that's no longer Avraham Min Achai. So there happened all three of them simultaneously. The Gemara is going to ask a question one second. Before we do that, I just want to point out in Rashi. Rashi says, why do you have to say it's a chatat ha'of? Why can't you say it's any behemah, any animal? We learned earlier in the Masechta, that when it comes to shchut echutz, if he does shchitav one siman b'chutz and one siman bifnim, he's chayav for shchut echutz. So even though you might require two simanim to finish it off, but one siman's enough to be chayav in shchut echutz. You don't need two simanim for shchut echutz because you just have to do maaseh chatat ha'of. Even on a behema, maaseh chatat ha'of is enough to be qualified as shchut echutz. So Rashi says he distinguishes between that case and our case. In the case of shchut echutz, where he does one siman outside and one siman in the inside, in the end he completes the shchita. He has a complete shchita. Therefore, the first siman that he did was a shechita of a siman, and that is significant enough to make it shechut echutz. In our case over here, if he does the shechita on the siman, he begins to do the shechita on the animal, and by that it becomes a surah because of vodat kochavim, then the pletion of the shechita never happens. If the pletion of the shechita never happens, then the first cut through the first siman was also not shechita. If it's not shechita, it can't be shechut echutz. So Rashi distinguishes between our case here and the case that we saw back on Chav Tet Amud Bet. Because once it's a zivchei meitim, it's a sur ba'ana'ah, there's no shechita left on this item. It's cutting like as the Gemara says, mechatech va'afarhu, it's like cutting the ground. You have to finish. Once you finish, then they become a surim ba'ana'ah. Until you finish it, they're not a surim ba'ana'ah. Once you finish the shechita and they become a sur ba'ana'ah, great. So then you have shechut echutz, but the isur ana'ah takes place after the shechut echutz. The isur shechut echutz. Here, it's happening before the shechita finished, and therefore you'll never get the shechut echutz. Oh, by our cases, because he's doing chatat ha'ov. Chatat ha'ov only requires one siman. That's the complete shechita for an oaf. So now Gemara says, Michte. Rav Huna keman amra l'shmatate. Rav Huna was relying on whom when he said his memra? Kidu'ula. He was relying on Ula. Ve'ula masa kodu kamar. Ula doesn't give a quantity of action. All he says is, asa ba masa asra. Any action that you take is enough. You just require a nick. As soon as you cut into the animal, it's going to be asura. So now chatat ha'ov is not a solution for us. Because as soon as you cut into the oaf, it's avodah kochavim. You haven't even finished the first siman, and it's already asura ba'ana. And therefore, you can't get the shechut echutz. So this answer of a papa is not even good enough to solve our problem here. Because it becomes asura immediately, as soon as you cut into it. Ella, what's the solution? Be'omer b'gmar zvicha hu ovda. That he does it, he says that I will only worship this avodah zarah at the end. When I finish. Once I've finished doing the complete shechita, that's when I'm worshiping the avodah zarah. I don't want this to be avodah zarah until I'm finished with the shechita. Well, if he does that, then everything happens simultaneously. Because if he has to wait till the end of the shechita, then at that moment, it also becomes shechut echutz. At that moment, it becomes avodah zarah. And then at that moment, when the animal dies, it also be asur b'shabbat. So now it all happens simultaneous. What's the obvious question? There are two ways to read this Gemara. Rashi brings down the next question, the Gemara. One can be it's a question directed at Rav Huna, or the other possibility, it's a general question. It's not directed at Rav Huna, but a general question now the Gemara is trying to understand. In this braita that we brought from Sachim, it says, Hashochei chatat b'shabbat. Why did the braita pick a chatat? Our understanding until now, what's unique about a chatat that's not found in any other of the karbanot, is that it has an oaf. So it must be the reason that the braita used the word chatat is to teach us about oaf. So that was the chiddush. What about olah? Olah also has an oaf. But olah by oaf doesn't help us, because by oaf, olah to oaf, you need to simanim. So the fact that it taught us chatat oaf is the chiddush here. But once you say that it's b'gmar zvicha hu ovda, then you can even do it with a behema. You can do it with anything. Why do you need it to be chatat ha'of anymore? This would not be a question of Huna, but a general question about the way we're learning the Gemara now, this diuk. Why does the Braita say chatat? The Braita says chatat, it's implying that it's unique or something special about it, which is the oaf aspect of it. If it's the oaf aspect about it, then why when you say g'mar zvicha, once you say it can happen at the end of the zvicha, then that can apply even to a behema. And that's what the Gemara asks there. Iachi mayur yachatat mishmenen zavach. Tell us about any zavach. El amar rimar zutra. The solution is mizmei darav papa achav mayaskinan kagon shaya chatzik kane pagum. Talking about a bird that already had its half of its windpipe cut out. For when's it a treifa the kane? When you have rove. When it has rove, it also becomes shechita. So if you have chatzik kane pagum, not there you have a kosher animal. But then v'hosif alav kosher. If you cut just a drop more, in that moment everything happens. V'gamar lekulu b'hadei adadi. Everything happens. At that moment, you have shechitat ha'ov, because now you've gone on to the rove. At that moment, you have shechut echutz, because you only need one siman by chatat ha'ov. And at that moment, you violate Shabbos, because that will cause the death of the animal. So that's the answer. The answer is this marzutra, is that this unique case where you have a chatzikane pagum, because it's the only case where it can work, is by the chatat ha'ov that has a chatzikane pagum, where it only requires a koshu to finish it. And that'll be the unique case where you can have these shalosh chatot. That's one way to read the Gemara. The other way to read the Gemara is that it's a question on Rav Huna. Rav Huna is suggesting over here that the reason we require chatat ha'of is because any amount of shechita would be sufficient in order to create the Isur Avodah Zarah. That was the chiddush of Rav Huna. The Gemara then presented the problem and says, oh, it's ad gmar zvicha. The Gemara then says, wait a minute. Gmar zvicha means that it can apply to anything. Then, that means it doesn't have to be a chatat ha'of. It can be any animal at that point. What are you going to ask me? The Braita. The Braita says that it's a chatat. So that sounds like Rav Huna. That should be a proof to Rav Huna. The answer is, why did the Braita say chatat? Because the distinction between chatat and all other animals is, chatat goes to the Kohanim. It's Kodshei Kodashim that goes to the Kohanim, and it doesn't belong to you. The distinction that we could have drawn over here, that the reason that Braita used the chatat is because it doesn't belong to you. When it doesn't belong to you, then you can do shechita on it. And when you do shechita, doesn't affect it. It has no impact on it. The only reason we think that has an impact now is because what Rav Huna said. Rav Huna says, well, if you cut into your behemat chevero, you can make a difference. Well, I would have said otherwise. I would have said that the Braita from Pesachim says Chatat because it doesn't belong to you. And if it doesn't belong to you, you know why you're not chayav till the end? Because until you finish the Shechita, it's still not yours. It doesn't matter. You can't make it into Avodah Zarah. You're chayav for worshipping Avodah Zarah, but you can't make it into a Nevad. And that's why when you complete the Shechita, it becomes Asura because it's Shechut Echutz at that point. There's no Isra of Takrovet Avodah Zarah here. Since there's no Isra of Takrovet Avodah Zarah, that's why the Braita said Chatat. Now the question is, Rav Huna, why do you need? You're saying that it's a chatat because you think it has to be a siman achat. Any little maisa can change it from behemat chaviro to make it into a avodah zarah. I'm telling you no, that you cannot make your behemat chaviro into something asura. And that braita from Sachim is chatat because it's not yours. That's the answer. So along comes Marzutra and says, it's Rav Huna's understanding of Ula. Ula never said anything. We'll see that in a second, that you could read Ula otherwise. And Rav Papa will ask your question. But as of this point, the way Rav Huna's understanding Ula is going to cause us a problem. The Gemara says, according to this, it's this unique case. And that's the reason it's Chatat over here. It's Chatat over here, and we can answer this problem. We don't have to say that the reason it's called a Chatat over here is because it's not owned by you. The reason it's a Chatat over here is because it's Chatat Ouf. Chatat Ouf has this unique circumstance where a Kol Dehu can create the Isur. So now, to your question, Shul. Amar Papa. Ilav damar Rav Huna siman echad. Had Rav Huna not said that one siman is sufficient, lo yivya chatat tiyuvte. We wouldn't have had a problem from that Braita Pesachim that says chatat. My masa. What is a masa that you require in Ula? When it says masa, masa rabo. Means a full masa. That's to your question, why it's not a question on Ula. Ula just says that you have to take an action on behemat chavero in order for it to be a surah. We don't know what that action is. We don't know what that masa is. Rav Huna comes along and tells us it's a siman echad. Even the smallest action is going to make it a surah. But Rav Papa is saying, without Rav Huna, we could have explained this whole case without any problems. We would have said, Ula meant, when you have to do a maisa, you have to do a big maisa. You know what a big maisa is? Going through both simanim. Okay, now I can understand why the Braita used the word chatat. Chatat is not a question. You can use behema, you can use anything. Why is it using chatat? It's not yours. And if it's not yours, it doesn't happen until the end of the Shkita that it becomes yours because you need a maisa rabo. That would be the way we'd explain it. And then Rav Papa makes a second statement. Amar Rav Papa, ilav damar Rav Huna behemat chaviro. Had Rav Huna not said behemat chaviro, but rather his own behema, he never allowed you to make your behemat chaviro asura. There is no way. You cannot make your friend's behema asura. Lo vei chatat tu yufte. Again, the Braita would not have been a question, because my taima, what would we have distinguished? Today, matzi asar, the chavre lo matzi asar. We could have made such a distinction that his behema you can make asura. His friend's behema, you cannot make asura. The Braita in Pesachim is talking about a shuchet chatat. That's not yours, because it belongs to the Kohanim. So there you can't make it asura. Cases where you can make it asura, if Rav Huna didn't say it was behemat chaviro, is when you do a maisa on your own behema, that's when you can make it asura. The Gemara says, wait a minute. Pshita, of course that's the case. Of course that's the case. If you believe that you cannot make your friend's behema asura, then of course it wouldn't be a question over here. There would be nothing to talk about. The Gemara says, no, ma'udu tema. Came into the konile the chapara, kedidei damya. I would have thought maybe, even if I didn't have Rav Huna here, I would have thought maybe Chatat is still considered to be his behema. Why? Because even though it's eaten by the Kohanim and it belongs to Kodshei Kodashim, nevertheless, who's provided the kapara over here? The Balim, the owners. Since the owners have provided the kapara, it's as if it's theirs. So maybe I would have said that's enough to be theirs that they can make it asura. Kamash Milan, that's not the case. That it's not enough. Without Rav Huna, I wouldn't have known that. So Rav Huna comes and teaches me two chidushim. The first chidush that Rav Huna teaches me is that you can make your friend's behema asura. That you have the ability to make your friend's behema asura. That's the first chiddush, and that's relying on Ula. The second chiddush that he has is that even in Ula, he's mechadesh, how much of an action do you have to take in order to make it asura? The answer to that is siman echad, even the smallest action. Anything. Any action you take will be sufficient to make behemat chaviro asura. Because of those two things, now I have the problem of the braita from Pesachim of chatat, which says that when I'm shochet chatat, you're chayav in shkut echutz, chayav in shabbat, and chayav in avodah zarah. How do I have such a case like that? It seems like almost impossible. The answer in the end is it's chatat of in this unique case where you have a chatzi kane pagum that came out of it. Right now, just to finish up here, Rav Nachman, v'Rav Amram, v'Rav Yitzhak Amrei, ein adam usir devar she'ein shelo. They make a definitive statement that one cannot make a sur his friend's item. And that's a filu b'gmar maisa. No matter what you do, you cannot make it a surah. So now, meitave, what about the Braita from Pesachim? The Braita Pesachim says, ashochet chatat b'shabbat b'chutz, And we just established that was talking about a chatat of. Time of the chatat of. That's only because it was a chatat of that's a work over here. The kulibadei adadi akati, because they all happen simultaneously. Aval zevach, it was a regular chatat. There was any other behemah, lo. Then it wouldn't have been. That would not have been the case. Well, what does that tell you? That tells you that you can be oser davar sheino shelo. Because we're talking about chataot over here. Chataot don't belong to you. They belong to the Kohanim. And yet, if it was a zevach, it would be problematic because you would have made it a sur right away and the shkutei chutz wouldn't happen until the end. So what do you see from here? You see that you can make somebody else's behemah a surah. V'ein adam doser davar sheino shelo, my iriya chataot. Afilu chatat behemah nami. Even a chatat behemah would work over here. You keep doing shkita. Go ahead. You don't make this animal a surah. So you do the shkita all the way through, your chayav over the zara, and your chayav shkutei chutz, because you completed the shkita. It never becomes a surah, the animal. Gemara says, no, that's not the case. Kevan de kanyale lechapara, kedidei damyo. Now the Gemara goes the opposite of what Rav Papa did before. According to these, Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, Rav Yitzchak over here, say, ein adam oser devar shel einu shelo, they say a chatat does belong to you. Chatat belongs to you because you get kapara through it. Since you get kapara through the chatat, therefore it is yours. And since it's yours, now you can make it asur. And that's not Adam Oser Devar Sheino Shelo, because it is Shelo. It's Shelo because he's getting kapara through this animal. Based on their answer, you could answer many other places in Shas. We look for times where, when is something Kodshim belong to you? Claim working Kodshim Kalim. Over here, you can even say that it's a chatat. According to these Amoraim, a chatat also is yours and will be classified as yours in Kodshim. You wouldn't have to say it in Kodshim Kalim. Not just in Kodshei Kalim would it be classified as yours. Even in Kodshei Kolashim, we have a case, according to these Amoraim of a Chatat, where it would belong to you. All right, with that, we'll stop. Just quick review of what we did today. The first part of the Gemara discussed the fact of when is something considered a surah for Tekrovet Avodah Zarah. We discussed there that only when it's done to the Harim, to the Gva'ol, to the Yamim, is it only Psula, not Zivchei Meitim. Whereas if you do it to the Sar, it is problematic. Tosfot said the distinction is between Mechubar and Talush. Rashi says the distinction is whether it's mentioned in the Torah or not mentioned in the Torah. Then we moved on to Rav Huna, whether you can make your friend's behemah asura. Can you make it into avodah zarah? Rav Huna's answer is in the affirmative. Yes, you can. And number two is, not only can you make it asura, you can make it asura even with the smallest action. And that's what he learned from Ula. He said Ula said that a maaseh changes it, but he defined that maaseh as being a maaseh zuta. The smallest maaseh makes it into something that's asura. We ran into a problem from the Braita in Pesachim. Braita in Pesachim seems to indicate that simultaneously you have shkutei chutz and you have avodah zarah. How can that happen if shkutei chutz is until all the simanim are done and avodah zarah happens immediately? The answer to that is it's a unique case of chatat of, where it's already chatzeh kaneh pagum, where you only have a koshu and then it completes everything at the same time. So that's the position of Rav Huna. Then we moved on to the positions of those that argue on Rav Huna and say that you can never make your friend's behemah asurah. They say anything that's not yours, you cannot make asur. So now what do you do with the braita from Pesachim? The braita from Pesachim says chatat there. The only reason to say it's a chatat is to tell you it's a chatat of. You're chayav there for avodah zarah. At the same time, you're chayav for shkutei chutz. And we said over there they had to do chatat of and not chatat beima. According to those Amoraim, the reason that they had to use chatat of by the bright and psachim is because if it was a chatat beima, it would be yours and you'd become a surah immediately. And if it becomes a surah immediately, you wouldn't have the completion of shkutei chutz. And because of that, they had to use chatat of. Chatat of is not coming to teach you the fact that you can make something that's not yours a surah. Chatat of has this unique circumstance in which it's yours and it becomes a surah in that small moment. And that's why they had to use chatat of and not chatat behema. All right, we'll stop over there.